Do better.
Be better.
Welcome to the Spitfire Podcast, Take Flight. We're your hosts, Moto
and Shaz, inbound implementers and social media specialists at Spitfire Inbound. Did you know that 1 in 5 women say that they felt ignored in virtual meetings?
Wait, what? Well, with the International Women's Day around the corner, this should be an issue we should address.
Yeah, it's crazy. According to Harvard Business Review, 3 segments of the workforce are routinely ignored in meetings. Introverts, remote workers, and yes, women. In our latest Women in Marketing series, we tackle this problem with 2 pretty incredible people.
That's right. Samantha Steele, our very own head of content, and LeMay Rogers, senior digital marketing manager in B2B marketing and CRM and Rent2Kill at Rent2Kill Initial, have both had to work their way up in the traditional male spaces. Helping the unheard voice is their passion. And today we are going to ask them about their experiences and advice for people feeling voiceless, and if they have any advice for people running those meetings.
So welcome to the podcast, Sam and LeMay.
Thank you.
Welcome,
guys.
Thank you
so much for having us.
So before we jump straight into it, LeMay, will you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, well, thank you, Shaz. Thank you for having me today. So I work for Rent2Kill Initial, which is a pest control and hygiene company, not necessarily seen as glamorous in the marketing world in the past, mm-hmm. but I've been there for 10 years now, working within the South Africa sub-Sahara market. And I've moved up into a new position within our marketing and innovation global team, supporting in digital marketing, which is really exciting. But I'm really excited about this topic in particular today, because from my training days back in Terrapin, we used to run this Woman in Management program with Dr. Denise Bjorkman, a very, very clever woman, and she really got me passionate about this topic, so thank you.
Okay, but before you go there, we also need Sam to introduce herself. Please hold on to that thought, I'm very excited.
Super excited to be doing this with you, LeMay. We've worked together for a few years now, and I've just really enjoyed getting your insights and wisdom, and I'm so looking forward to like ironing out this topic together. My background, well, I come from a journalism background, so I'm head of content at Spitfire, but you'll find my published works, well, all over, like a lot of women's magazines, but Forbes Women Africa is the one that comes to mind for this topic, where I've been unpacking for a few years women in the workplace challenges. And I've got to say that statistically speaking, women are very unheard in a corporate environment. I'm quite fortunate that I've been working in a very female-dominated space, but if you look at the research, I mean proper journalistic research, women really just are not as vocal and as heard and as respected in meetings as men are traditionally. And this is a really nice one to unpack with how we've been handling it.
Nice. I'm glad that we have 2 experienced women in the house today who are going to be sharing with us the experience today. So I'm going to start with you, Sam. Can you give us a bit of your experience in meetings, especially with men around?
Well, I think first of all, I mean, the man and I were chatting before the podcast episode, and I think for us, what we were saying is that it's not just a woman-man thing. I feel like that dichotomy maybe isn't a helpful way to look at it, but if you look at meetings in general, it is a space where people who are a bit more shy, a bit less experienced, a bit more introverted, are traditionally like listened over and overheard. And if I look at what LeMay's done with her team, there's one member of the team that when he started out was a very quiet guy, but over the years, through the confidence he's been getting with LeMay, I think he's adding such great insights now. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I guess it's just looking at meetings as being one place where you can add your ideas to a business. And if you're not in a business to add your ideas, you're like, why are you there?
Yeah.
And I think the follow-up question to that is, if you're not adding your ideas, are you feeling valued as an individual?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a retention strategy for an employer, but also that feeling valued and part of the team contributing from the employee.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I mean, like, occasionally we get those ads in South Africa that, like, land badly, where someone's like, oh, that's so sexist or that's so racist. And my first thought was always, like, no one was listening to the people representing that class or demographic in the meeting.
Mm.
because surely they, if they didn't feel comfortable raising it, there's a reason. They didn't feel comfortable their voice would be heard. So that for me is always, yeah, just a thought starter, I guess.
100%. So, Neme, with that, what is your experience with feeling unheard? Have you ever been in the space, obviously you've built yourself up now where people listen, but when was an experience where you felt unheard in a meeting?
I think any time you start a new position in a new company, being the new kid on the block, you know, you don't always have that experience, either be it industry or within your craft, especially when you're starting out in your career. You do feel unsettled and insecure. You're worried about saying the wrong thing. And I think it's at those times when you actually try and hide. You want to become part of the desk almost, if you can. But I think that is really where, as a first point, you feel unheard. The second point is if you are in a room full of a lot more senior people than yourself, if you don't have the tools to equip you where you can feel confident to raise a point, I think there would be a level of frustration. And that's what I remember from those early days, is you've got the sense of frustration that I've got something good to say, but then I'm either spoken over or dismissed. That doesn't happen anymore, probably because I'm a lot more confident and I'm part of the furniture. But
not the desk.
Probably the dust on the desk now.
Also, I think, like, you've proven your worth. Like, people know that your contributions are valuable. But the interruption thing for me is very interesting, because that is just statistically... I've struggled with that word. Sorry, I read more than I talk. Statistically, women are interrupted more than men. And that, for me, is where it's hard. Like you get the courage, you, like, finally say what you want to say in the meeting, and then someone talks over you or claims credit for your idea. That's so frustrating.
Absolutely.
So I was thinking, actually, obviously we're speaking about, you know, the three demographics. It's introverts, women fall into that as well.
Remote workers.
Yeah. I was like, I'm forgetting myself.
But that dynamic shifted a bit with the pandemic, I think. But it's still a very interesting point. Like if you've got a meeting, you've got one person on a laptop through a speaker and, like, 10 people in a boardroom, how do you make sure that person on the laptop's also heard? I think that's a good point.
And so, like, this is the thing. It's going back to that value, you know? And so, statistically speaking... these CEOs or MDs or the bigger people in the room are men, you know, or they are, if we're speaking from a color proposition as well, white men or white females as well. So maybe when we're speaking about it's always the people that are higher up in the room that are the ones that are making people feel like they can't be heard. So I think in order for this podcast to be valuable to listeners, you have both experienced that space. How did you work your way up? What are tips and tricks, techniques that we could apply in our space in order to be heard from the bottom up? Yeah.
I know LeMay's got some, like, well, you've got some techniques that work for you. For me, I think it's been... like being prepared. I know that I tend to be a deer in the headlights. So, like, if I'm caught off guard with a topic, I don't always know what to say in the moment. Like, I've got in front of me right now 1, 2, 3, 4 pages.
And a copy.
Very important. And that helps me, is like when I feel confident that I'm adding value, like I'll do that if I've got my preparation and I can understand my point in my head, But LeMay's got some, like, great things that...
Oh, thanks. Well, can I start by saying, I mean, I work in quite a different setup to the traditional setup at the moment. So I work remotely full-time.
Nice.
My team are based in the UK permanently. So when we have our leadership meetings or our team meetings, I'm pretty much the only one remote if it's an office day. And the one thing I'm very thankful for is that I've got a leader for my team, and I've got team members that are very cognizant that I'm there and that they include me and they ask for my opinion as we go through the meetings. And that's really the first point for me, whether you are in the meeting as an attendee or whether you are hosting the meeting, always make sure you include people, even if you have to put a time on your watch. We all have smart watches now these days. So you know, every 10 minutes, just check, is the person still engaged? Camera still on? You know, how are you? facilitating that. Shaz, what do you think? You know, Sam, you had a really good point about this in our previous meeting.
Mm.
Don't you want to bring a bit of that in? So I think there is a level of, it's everybody's job to be inclusive,
mm.
whether you're hosting the meeting or not. The second point, which Sam just mentioned, is preparation. If you have prepared for that meeting and you are confident and you have your notes and your book and your coffee and everything
mm.
is great, you will actually feel like you can contribute because you're empowering yourself into managing the situation and to being part of that conversation.
Mm.
The other thing that's important is eye contact. So in a room, it's a bit easier, of course. If you're working remotely, you're staring at the screen. But, you know, it's the little typical tricks, and I think influencers will probably be able to speak a lot more about this than me, but make sure your laptop is at the right level so that you're actually making eye contact with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Because although you're feeling silly in your one-bedroom apartment looking at a screen,
mm-hmm.
people still perceive you as being in that meeting. So make sure that you do have that eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Also, remember to speak a little bit slower, especially when you are online. And I think this is where women in management get shut down in meetings quite often. Because we talk fast and we get excited and this is all great, and then we speak higher as well and it's all wonderful and exciting.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
People switch off. I mean, especially, you know, there are men with a lower hearing registry, and this is a DNA thing. It's not
science.
So if your husband not listening to you.
I think it's also an interesting point though, because like if you look back at the cliches, I mean, I think there's a feeling of, if I don't speak quickly, people aren't going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I feel that. Like, I better get my idea out as quickly as possible before everyone zones out. But there's also all those cliches about, like, women are hysterical, women nag, the nagging wife. Like, if I hop on about a point in a meeting, am I being like, a naggy person?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a cliche you get with men.
It's
just not, yeah. And it's
mm-hmm.
not... like, I'm not saying it's the fault of the businesses per se, but it's just, this is the context we're operating in, right? That like,
society.
We're having to fight these like systemic prejudices. And I think part of it is also overriding our like need to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I'm not saying you need to be rude in a meeting.
Yeah.
Do not recommend, 0 stars. But it's also like, if you're interrupted, like, don't let them interrupt you. And that's really hard to do if you're a junior. But also if you feel like you're less important, I think it's more easy to be like, oh, well, that person's got a more valuable point to make than me.
Mm-hmm.
But ask a manager. I don't know if you've read that, LeMay or Chaz or
mm-hmm.
Monsor.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my most favorite procrastination websites. It's called Ask a Manager. It's this really awesome lady. She's got like lots of career advice. Also, like, so people write in with like their business and workplace concerns.
Okay.
And some of it's just pure scandalous gossip, which is always fun. But a lot of it's like really helpful. Like, I got a lot of management techniques from her. And she speaks about how, like, when someone interrupts you, you need to be a bit more firm back and just say, like, I'm sorry, but I wasn't finished talking yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like if someone does interrupt you and try to take up your talking space, you need to not just sit down and take it and be a good girl.
Yeah.
You need to push back also and not let them do that.
Yeah. But I think that is something that has really come about in the last few years. I think people are more aware of mental health, they're more aware of themselves, and a mindful self. And we need to move from this place from politeness to honesty.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's
not
nice.
That you
yeah.
are
I love that.
Yeah.
out to get anybody. It's not that you're out to put somebody else down. It's just give me the space to finish my conversation. And as Sam said, it's a respectful thing. It's not that you're going to fly off the handle for whatever reason. But you know, people do get excited. We all get passionate. We interrupt each other. It's just about bringing the conversation back. And you know, I hope that within the meeting rooms these days, there's more of an understanding of that in terms of the context that we are in.
Nobody call me hysterical.
I will show you
hysterical. Yeah, exactly. But it's quite interesting, like, so just to share a bit of data, I am a journalist, so I did do a bit of reading. So McKinsey and LeanIn.org, they do a Women in the Workplace report, and their 2019 survey, so just pre-pandemic, they looked at a lot of people. The stats are online. We'll put the link in.
Yeah.
This episode. Yeah.
Yes. Shameless plug.
So that half of the surveyed women had experienced being interrupted or spoken over in a meeting. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Half is a lot.
Mm.
So this is not like an isolated experience, I think.
Not at all.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah.
So what I was finding interesting, so obviously in our tip, your tips and tricks that you suggested, a lot of it you can use in a remote working space. But I wonder, obviously, if you're in an office, so the same way that you said, you know, put your laptop a little bit higher. If you want to be heard, maybe put your posture back, you know, like put your shoulders back. I did it. You can't see me when I did it. So put your shoulders back and kind of sit there and, you know, have that authority sort of chest out, stomach in.
Yes.
I'm going to add to that and say, yes, sit up straight, but lean in a little bit.
Mm.
Make eye contact, because that is just showing that you're interested in the conversation.
Mm.
Where possible, unless you're presenting and you have to have your laptop. Like, I am terrible at this because I like taking notes on my laptop.
Yeah.
Because my writing is atrocious. As the team around the table can see.
I was trying to be polite.
I was going to say, shame, it's not that bad.
No, it is. I own that. But try and open up the space in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Be approachable. It's like I haven't dated for a while. That comes with married life. But if you're sitting with your phone in front of you, shoulders like hunched over, nobody's going to approach you.
Yeah.
So you actually have to be open to the experience as well.
Mm.
And in meetings, that is really important. So be open to what is being said. You're there to take up space.
Mm.
So take up the space.
I think it's also like, I feel like now that I'm more senior, I feel like I've got responsibility to the junior members of the team and the people who like are traditionally unheard, to give them that space. So like, I know Ali Lishman, she's our strategic director at Spitfire.
Mm-hmm.
She's really, really good at this, and she's taught me a lot since I started. She like, so introverts are one of the, like, I don't think demographics are the right, but one of the groupings that traditionally is less heard in a meeting, because obviously extroverts are more confident, you know, interacting, speaking out, being loud.
Who shouts the loudest?
Yeah. So what she'll do before, and they send out the agenda so the introverts can prepare. And we've got one or two introverts in our team that I can think of. I won't name names in case they're listening. But it does help them, because I've seen them that now they're more confident to add value. And I've had that experience with one team member who started out quite junior. And she's now at the stage where, I wouldn't say she's not an extrovert, she's not the life of the party, but she certainly adds value in winning a meeting. And she knows what she's about. And I feel like that's through Annie, like, very consciously building her up over the years.
Mm.
Like, it's not a once-off, like, thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And that goes into preparation then, as we had said with our technique. It's like giving people, having that space, especially when you haven't had that space before, so maybe have less experience, making sure that you can have that preparation to speak. I'm the same as you mentioned earlier. It's like, blah, blah. Especially if I haven't prepared for something, I kind of like mumble as well.
No, I talk fast when I'm nervous. Yeah, my husband calls me a barber because I'm just like.
So do you guys have any tips for anyone like who feels interrupted?
Like, how do you not be rude? You know, you mentioned earlier, like.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it's tough because, I mean, also if you're being interrupted by the CEO, you know, it's a bit tough to feel like, well, I've got the right to take up that space.
Excuse me, sir.
Career limiting move. Approaching.
But I think saying that, like, excuse me, I wasn't done yet. So, like, if you're acting from an assumption that they made a mistake rather than that they're being malicious, I think that also helps. Like, they're not out to get you. They
mm-hmm.
just got excited. So rather frame it in your mind as, like, oh, they didn't realize I was still talking.
Mm.
And that might help you approach it in a more, like, coming from a place of kindness way, rather
yeah.
than being like, hey, hang on.
I think emotional hijacks, it's a great point to touch on, Sam, because we automatically assume that people come from a negative place or a place where they are judging you. So by being open, by making that assumption that, yes, this was a mistake, let me continue to push my point, you know, have a bit of heart and just continue to push at it and work at it, even if it's across meetings. I wasn't heard in this meeting. How do I think I could have changed that situation? Because a lot of time people aren't aware of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a bit of persistence from your side as well.
Definitely.
That's quote, like, people aren't against you, they're for themselves.
Mm. Write that down. Wow. Profound. No, that is it. And I also, I mean, I think especially with something like that, it's like taking something personally, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, people are people, and people can be not the best kind of people. So, how did I say that in the nicest way possible? But what I find really interesting is there's strength in numbers always as well. So, you know, if you have a few juniors or females or whoever those groups are that feel like they're being ignored in the meeting as well, you know, kind of say it in the best way possible, not speaking, you know, behind anyone's back or anything, but just say, I really find it difficult to get the confidence to say that, because if somebody had to come to me and say that, I am more extroverted, don't know if you can tell, but but if somebody had to say that to me, if I saw them struggling in a meeting, I would bring them out, you know, like, so I don't know, you're busy sitting there, you've been interrupted, you don't want to say it for yourself, kind of be that person to say, hey, like, Motsu didn't have a chance to finish his sentence.
Mm-hmm.
If you are one of those people in a meeting that is able to do that, add value in that way, because you've had these feelings before,
yeah.
But you do have the confidence in a way, just by a personality and characteristics, to be there. So definitely help out those people who are struggling. And if you are struggling, speak out.
But also, I feel like, oh, sorry, Lemay, I see you wanted to.
Don't interrupt her, Sam.
Sorry. Technically, she was interrupting me.
please go.
So, another statistic I wanted to share is that 30% of women, and this was that same McKinsey survey, said that others have taken credit for their ideas. So, very consciously will credit the idea of who it comes from, because often I'll have a one-on-one discussion with someone before
mm-hmm.
a meeting.
Yeah.
So like Senna, we've got a strategy we're doing with a client. Mortzo and I often work together on client strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And Mortzo's got a great like LinkedIn article idea. I won't go in and speak for him because I know he's too nervous to speak or whatever. I'll
mm-hmm.
say, oh, Mortzo spoke to me earlier, he's got this awesome idea for a LinkedIn strategy we could add on to this.
Yeah.
And that's another way, as a more senior person, you can help out people in the room while still getting their good ideas out.
Yeah.
But obviously you don't want to, gosh, now that I'm thinking about it, you just want to be careful to not talk for them when they could talk for themselves.
Yeah.
But it just is a way to equal the playing field a bit and to give people credit for their good ideas and not try and get all the spotlight for yourself.
I love that.
Hybrid is obviously the buzzword and has been for a while now since COVID, but you could do the hybrid on that. So, Mortzo had this amazing idea. Mortzo, don't you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, what were you saying about that 30% statistics?
It's got
a tough word. It's a tough word.
But I feel like we need a swear job.
Stats job.
But it is about that space. So managers need to create the space.
Yeah.
And, you know, as colleagues, we need to empower ourselves to
mm-hmm.
take up space. And another way you can do that is if it's a more informal meeting or a team meeting, I wouldn't say it's the strategy meeting of the year where everybody is like dead serious, but
mm-hmm.
most meetings in AOB, you could say, could we look at how we address people interrupting, or could we look at how
yeah.
we can add more time into sessions in order to build out time for feedback, you
mm-hmm.
know, whatever that looks like. So how are you raising the requirement for that specific meeting? You know, if it's the annual operating strategy and it's go, 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 and there isn't really time for discussion and you feel you didn't get your points across, that is something you could discuss with your manager. That's actually a really good coaching moment to
mm-hmm.
say, how could I have done that better?
Mm,
and use that as
point.
An EQ development opportunity.
But you know, to add on to that also, I feel like, so you're speaking about referring generally to that within a business context. I think you can also take the serial offenders aside and say, I'm not sure you realize, but you're always interrupting
yeah.
when so-and-so raises
mm-hmm.
their voice. So maybe you could be more conscious of the fact that you need to let them finish their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be publicly called out necessarily. You can do it in a one-on-one context. But
mm-hmm.
I think that does also help people become more self-aware of how they're acting in a space.
Definitely. I love that you said that because in that research as well, one of the things that's taking credit for someone's idea, I love that they call it bro-appropriating.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that before, and I was just like, this is an actual thing, but it goes along with the words like which we've heard, mansplaining.
Have you read the original mansplaining article, Chaz?
I haven't. Did he tell you to read it?
Rachel Solnick wrote it. It's kind of launched. I feel like I wrote the other day about raising daughters in today's world. Mm-hmm. I've got three daughters, so I think about it fairly often. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote this really excellent essay about... So she'd written a book, and then a guy came up to her at a party, and they were chatting, and then she was talking about the topic of her book. And he didn't realize she was the author, and he said, okay, well, you should actually read this book about it because you're not explaining it very well.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, well, actually, I'm the author. So, I feel like we've come a long way. Like, we've had Me Too. We've had, I feel like there's a big anti-catcalling movement. There's a big mansplaining movement. We are doing research into this. Like, I feel like we're way more cognizant of these challenges than we were, like, even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said in my article, is that, like, I think women are much more empowered now than they were when my mom was this age, you know? And I had a point to make from all those things, but... I just think that these kind of catchy phrases help us be aware of it and help us be more self-aware. And I like that, like, appropriating mansplaining, like, it's fun, but it also, like, refers to what's systemically been a real problem.
So on that, and saying it's coming from society, right, and we realize we're in this space now where we have progressed. But what you were saying before that, and then leading into this with the man interrupting as well, it's as an extrovert or... as a leader or as a manager or as anyone who's in a higher position, which is obviously what men were traditionally used to, have we picked up on, and especially maybe females as well, have we picked up on these bad habits? You know, or
don't
do
say
we
females.
Think,
I hate that word.
Females.
I'm an incel website.
But you know,
I'm just teasing.
But do you think it's bad habits that we've picked up trying to coach ourselves to be heard in a space? Or once you get into that space, you just feel like you're entitled, you know? Or I don't really know.
I feel like in a South African context, first of all, like, I know that, okay, so this is a women in marketing episode, and I think this is something that me as a feminist and me as a feminist writer is very, very passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to say, in the South African context, it's so much broader than women.
Yes.
And in South Africa, we're dealing with, like, racial inequalities. I mean, you know, historical background about who was important in an office and who wasn't.
Exactly.
And who's allowed to have a voice in those spaces. And I feel like all of us, like, are internally overcoming all of that internal stuff about who's valuable.
Exactly.
And I think that just having this conversation is paving the way for hopefully the people listening to this episode to understand that it's not just them.
Mm.
Like, you're not, you know, imposter syndrome. It's not that you're not valuable. It's that you're fitting into a much bigger context. And if I look at our room here, so there's a little voiceless person in our room with us, Sophia. She's she's our Spitfire Inbound's writer. She's one of our writers, and she's helping us with this episode. And I mean, like, having her voice more heard in our content meetings, for example, is helping us build the way to understanding what we can do differently. Mozo is doing amazing things. And just being able to include people past what... Gosh, sorry, I'm stumbling over my words here. I think our ability to include people...
who haven't.
Yeah, who've traditionally been voiceless.
Mm.
Let me put it that way. The traditionally voiceless. To be able to include them in these spaces. And for us as managers, I mean, LeMay and I are now in managerial positions, to very consciously work on including those voices, for those people to also feel more confident speaking up. It's like an ongoing conversation. It's not going to be solved once off, but if we're all aware of it and all working on it together, all have got the same goals.
Yeah.
I also think there's, you know, there's also a level, two things we need to be aware of. The one is, I know some people are listening to this podcast going, oh, it's the men. Evil reincarnate. In Afrikaans, they would say, die duivel uit die kinderbybel.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
But actually, if you look at, I want to say, leaders now, not people that led organizations in the 80s. That was a very different time. But
very different time.
Leaders now, men are just as sensitive and driven by emotional intelligence than women. So I do feel that dynamic is changing for the better.
Yeah.
So just a shout out to all the guys that do actually stand up in those meetings.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. And if I look again at Spitfire, I mean, Darren Leishman has really helped coach me over the years about how to speak up, how to present, how to have a voice.
Yeah.
And that's an example. I mean, if you speak to, like, our sister agency, V, is the... I forget her exact title, but she's very important.
VIP.
And she also, like, credits Darren for building her up over the years. Like, I think it's really important to point out that we're not trying to paint a brush.
Exactly.
And if you ever look at my dad, he works at the Bill Gates Foundation. He's got also a very long job title. And he's very conscious of helping the voiceless. They call him the mama elephant because he's always protecting his team.
That's
But I mean, yeah, I think that's a really, really good point to make, that don't feel like because you fit a certain demographic that means that you're guilty of these things. I think these are characteristics we all need to be considerate of.
The second thing I want to raise is there's also a level of overcompensating.
Mm.
And I think that we are, as a human society, getting better at that. But it's like any new manager. You get this title, it's all exciting, they send you on a management course because that is the right thing to do. And then you come back with all these tools, but then you take it to the extreme. You know,
yeah.
They say you need to project manage, you almost become a micromanager for a certain amount of time because you're trying to figure out the tools, but your team suffer for it. And sorry, I feel like I'm taking a road around the reservation on this one.
No,
but
it's good.
I do think there's a level of, yes, we need to be proactive in meetings, we need to be doing all the stuff that we've been talking about, but also just be conscious not to go overboard, because to try and give somebody that is generally voiceless a voice, if you go overboard with that, you might come across as quite aggressive or a bit of a bully in those meetings.
Or tone deaf, or like a picking on them by...
Yeah, that's
true. Point.
Good point.
Balance
is good.
Always,
yeah.
We love some balance. And then also, as an individual, is just really to have that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hearing this, if you're listening, again, like Sam said, you're not the only one. And if you feel really strongly about something and you know you're being respectful and you know that you've done your research and that it's good, back yourself, you know, have that space. And then obviously, I mean, if it doesn't happen, then you can use all of the other tips that we spoke about. but it really is that confidence. Like, I always say that if you don't back yourself, then who else is going to back you? Kind of sounds like the great poet, RuPaul. But yeah, just really have that and know that you are valuable and that you do bring something to the table.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, ladies, because of... Obviously, like, looking back from where we come from, like, it was very different from where we are today. And I have to say that we've made so much great progress. And also, not just from a racial perspective, but also from a female perspective as well. Because of today, we have many women who are in leadership roles. And that has given us, or that has shown us, that our society has progressed from where it was before.
Yeah, I think so too. And, like, I mean, just look at the room here that we have. We're all discussing this topic. I think it really is a sign of the times, you know, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for us.
Love that for us.
So what, do you have any takeaways that you want our listeners to get from this episode?
Oh, we've said so much already.
One key takeaway.
I'm going to go with what Shaz actually said around backing yourself. And backing yourself doesn't mean I walk into the room and, you know, it's all just going to happen automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the preparation. Take deep breaths. Make sure you surround yourself with good mentors that can be a mirror to you when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, was I okay in that meeting? Yes, you were. Or actually, no, you know, you didn't assert yourself. But just, you know, give yourself some room to grow and don't be too harsh. I think it's really important.
Nice.
You know, I think I'm going to have my key takeaway speaking more to managers then. I mean, I think your one-on-one is a great, great point, and, like, value yourself. But for me, I think that, like, as I've moved into a more senior position, I realize I've got a responsibility. So So that's my key takeaways. Just remember your responsibility to the other people in the room.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love.
So thank you for those insights, ladies. And where can we find you on social?
Shameless plug.
We have a little bit of shame.
Well, you'll probably find me more on LinkedIn in terms of the social space.
Okay.
So you're welcome to look me up on LinkedIn. It's always nice to learn from new people and to meet new people. So that's great. Thank you.
I am McStelio. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, while it's still around. Along that way. I've also got a Medium account with my writing that you can look for. Samantha Steele is the name. Yeah, but Insta is my happy place. So yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Happy International Women's Day.
And we are so glad that we could share this advice with people in the workforce and those who are more senior and may not realize that their meeting spaces aren't collaborative enough.